Hurricane Idalia is now pushing through Georgia as a Category 1 storm, but people in Florida are now dealing with severe flooding and damage. We'll have a look at the destruction left by the storm.
We just got an update from the National Hurricane Center. The noon update has a storm moving into Georgia. I'll show you what time we can expect to see rain bands here coming up.
Plus, honoring a UNC professor who police say was shot and killed by a grad student. The tribute planned by faculty and students.
Hurricane Idalia is moving quickly from Florida to Georgia, but damaging wind and rain persists across the Big Bend area. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. A lot to tell you about. Idalia is now a Category 1 storm. It made landfall this morning in Florida as a Cat 4. Parts of Florida have already seen more than 5 inches of rain. Idalia is also blamed for a weather-related death in Pasco County. Highway Patrol says a 40-year-old man lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a tree.
We have live team coverage of Hurricane Idalia's path from Florida to North Carolina, and we have all the tools, technology, and manpower to bring you the information and coverage to keep you and your family safe. Flooding will be our biggest concern with this storm. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with the Idalia's location.
And so again, this is the noon update. It's 25 miles northeast of Valdosta, Georgia. It will continue to move northeastward along the coast of Georgia and South Carolina toward Wilmington. And then it's going to make that right turn into the Atlantic. It's moving pretty fast. Northeast at 20 miles per hour. It now has winds at 85 miles per hour. That's really still a fairly strong storm to be as far inland as it is. Here's a look at the track. Again, 85 mile per hour winds here, likely to remain as a Category 1 all the way here until 8 p.m. tonight, halfway between Charleston and Savannah. And then it continues to push northward at 8 a.m. on Thursday. You can see it's right here at the Wilmington area. And then it makes that right turn and it moves out toward Bermuda, where it's likely to stay for the weekend. And it could continue to send some high rip current danger our way, even through the weekend. Let's take a look at what's happening out there right now. You can see the rain bands. We don't have rain bands up into North Carolina just yet, but we could start to see some of that rain as we get into the middle of the afternoon. So it's not far off. Also, we've had some tornado warnings, you can see, from Savannah to Charleston. Let's zoom in closer to Jacksonville, Florida. That's where meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in the storm tracker. She's just north of Jacksonville. And Amy had a very interesting morning. Amy, you got a little bit close to the center of circulation, and then you got stuck because trees were down everywhere. Tell us about that.
It was definitely a rough morning. Photojournalist Vinny Bocanfusco was with me, and we had 10 different routes that we tried, all blocked by trees. It was really, we were wondering at some point, if we were even going to be able to get out of there today because there were so many trees down. We were very close to the eye of the hurricane this morning. We clocked a wind at 105 miles per hour from the storm tracker's weather station, so we were very close to those powerful winds, and those powerful winds were knocking down trees all over the place. Right now, we're just north of Jacksonville. Our goal originally was to go to Valdosta, Georgia. We just couldn't get there with all of the downed trees, so we went east so that we could get out of that area. But look at the amount of power outages that they have across parts of North Florida. And this is the area that we were driving around in. Pretty much no one has power because so many trees are down on the power lines. We did take some photos of those, and you can see those pictures there. Just trees down everywhere. This is a huge mess across Florida. It's gonna take a long time for them to recover from this. Right now, Vinny and I are just thankful that we got out of it, and we are now going to follow the storm along I-95. For the rest of the day today and into tomorrow as well. But certainly an eventful morning here in the WRL Storm Tracker. Elizabeth?
Well, Amy, it sounds like it was really dangerous. We're really glad you're safe. Be careful as you continue to follow the storm. Fortunately, it will be weakening some as it moves to the north. Some new information that came in at 11 o'clock this morning. Hoke, Cumberland, and Sampson counties are now under the tropical storm warning, even this far inland. What that means is that we could see 40 to 45 mile per hour winds in these three counties. The winds are likely to be closer to 60 60 miles per hour along the coast, and there'll be some minor storm surge there. Flood watch in effect for almost all of us, 2 to 5 inches of rain. And again, those southern counties are going to be the ones that have the heavier rainfall, up to 5 inches from the Triangle area northward. It's likely to be maybe a half an inch up to 2 inches. We have so much to talk about. There's a severe threat along the coast. We have a tornado watch along the coast. We're going to talk more about rain and wind for the coast and when you can expect. We're going to go through Futurecast, I promise, coming up in a few minutes. So you'll see when the rain arrives.
And with that, Elizabeth, people along our coast are keeping a close eye on Idalia. Officials are warning of the potential for dangerous rip currents. WRO's Kelsey Coffey is at Wrightsville Beach live for us this noon. Kelsey.
Well, Jeff, there's still just a few people who are out on the beach right now. We're experiencing some steady rain, but it's nowhere near that heavy downpour that we had at about 8:30, 8:45 this morning. This is a look at the beach right now. The red flags are flying, so that signals that this is not safe water to swim in, but we have seen a lot of surfers here throughout the morning and now into the afternoon. We caught up with locals soaking up the sun for the last few hours today before these storms rolled in. They say they're taking all the necessary precautions.
The normal things, get the gas, get the water, make sure you have batteries for the flashlights and the radio. Other than that, I'm not real shaken up behind this storm. Been through a whole lot worse, but everybody should still pay attention because you just never know.
And the main concern here for today and tomorrow is dangerous rip currents. Lifeguards are encouraging people to stay out of the water. You may not be able to see behind me, but there's a sign that says no lifeguard on duty. So if people go out here and swim, they'll be doing that at their own risk. And as we've, you know, caught up with people who live in this area, they say that they're bracing for this storm, but it seems like no one here is planning to evacuate. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Wrightsville Beach.
Kelsey, thanks. Within the last 45 minutes, we learned Cumberland, Hoke, and Sampson counties are under a tropical storm warning. This is in addition to the watches and warnings for the North Carolina coast. WRL's Gilbert Bays is live in Cumberland County now with a look at how people are preparing for flooding. Gilbert.
Well, Renee, the big question right now is just how much rain and wind are we going to get from the tropical storm as it makes its way through here. Here's the Cape Fear River, and this is good news because you can see the river is not that high. You can see the dock. Anytime we can see that dock down there, we're in pretty good shape. The question again is, we got right now plenty of room for some of the streams like Cross Creek and other streams to come down and make its way in here to before we reach the flood stage. Now, let me take you back to the hurricanes Matthew and Florence. We saw the bridge right here, the Cape Fear River, at the base of the Person Street Bridge. Now, the big concern is for flash flooding in low-lying areas that are prone to flooding. And according to WRL meteorologists, tropical storm is expected to dump about 3 to 5 inches of rain here in the sand hills. And that will come on the heels of plenty of a pretty good soaking that we had over the weekend here in Cumberland County.
We were very dry up until this past weekend. And, you know, some areas got very little rain in Cumberland County. Some areas got 2, 3, 4 inches of rain on Sunday, at least 2 inches of rain on Sunday. And those are going to be some of the areas that you may be more concerned with the ground saturation and trees falling.
Yep.
Now, this is going to be the first test of the Cumberland County Emergency Management Headquarters. This is where the command post is going to be set up and the store as the storm makes its way through the area. It's empty right now, but the staff that's going to work it, they're ready on standby, ready to go. And you can see one of the trucks up there that's moved into this area not far from the Cape Fear River. I saw about 6 or 7 of them already starting to stage. So, Renee, we're going to check with PWC, that's the power company down here, to see what their plan is for as this storm moves through the area to make sure people are covered in terms of power outages. And also we're going to check with the Cumberland County schools. We haven't heard yet what their plan is for tomorrow and for the rest of this day as well.
Gilbert, you've covered a lot of tropical storms. We'll see what this one brings for Cumberland County. Thanks, Gilbert. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, after the storm, there will be a lot of cleanup and a lot of people like to donate. The American Red Cross this afternoon is sharing ways that you can donate. You can donate $39. That'll provide one cleanup kit and comfort supplies to a family of four. $96 will provide food and blankets and supplies to a family of three. And $150 will provide a crib for an infant in a shelter. Now, a lot of times people like to donate, but this is also a time to be aware of scammers. A
lot of people will get scammed, unfortunately. So the website to go to is redcross.org. That is how you know you are donating to the American Red Cross the correct way. Again, redcross.org to donate.
Thanks, Michelle. Several airports in Florida are closed, causing hundreds of cancellations. Various airlines, including Delta, Southwest, JetBlue, and United, are allowing passengers to make changes for free within an allotted time. WRL's Julian Grace is live at RDU International here at home with the impact of the storm, maybe that trickle-down effect that we're seeing. Julian?
Jeff, we have constantly been checking that big board inside here, and here's the latest update for you. We can tell you there are 6 cancellations here and 7 delayed flights. Now, will that change? Time will only tell. Let's go inside. Here's video that we shot earlier today, and you can see that foot traffic is relatively light inside. But on Thursday alone, RDU could receive 48,000 passengers. Because of that number, the airport is bringing in extra staffing. And RDU reps shared the number one step travelers should take before coming to RDU.
Travelers this weekend should check the status of their flight before coming to the airport.
There is the tip right there. Check before you come here. The better you know, the better you are able to make better decisions. That said, we will have more information later tonight. We're going to talk to those that have been impacted by the storm already, and you'll hear from them. Once again, Jeff, 225,000 passengers are expected to come here in the next 5 days. That's if Idalia doesn't hold them back.
Yeah, important information headed into the holiday weekend for Labor Day. Julian Grace, live at RDU. Thank you.
Duke Energy is preparing for Idalia and wants to make sure you're ready as well. If you experience a power outage, be sure to report it to Duke Energy. You can do this by going to its website, or you can text out to 57801. You can also call 800-POWER-ON. You can stay informed by looking at the outage map online and signing up for outage alerts by texting REG to 57801. WRAL.com is the most visited news website in North Carolina, and WRAL News is always on. Be sure to download the WRAL News app for up-to-the-minute information about how Idalia will affect you. It's free wherever you get your apps.
Next at noon, honoring the professor shot and killed on campus at UNC Chapel Hill. A live report ahead of that remembrance ceremony.
Also, another smash-and-grab robbery in California. How thieves pepper-sprayed the shop owner and how much loot they got away with.
Plus, we take you back right near where Hurricane Idalia made landfall, where this is now flooding, still holding people hostage inside their homes.
And we're beginning to pick up some light rain on dual Doppler 5000 radar in our southern counties and down toward the Wilmington area. Coming up on Futurecast, I'll show you what time rain arrives where you are and how much you'll see.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
In less than an hour, the Carolina community will honor Professor Zijie Yin. Today, UNC will ring its bell tower at 1:02, the exact time on Monday the professor was shot and killed by a man police say was a grad student of his.
WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live on campus right now with a preview of what will be a solemn remembrance today. Matt?
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, the bell tower here will toll to start a moment of silence here on campus to remember Professor Yin. I want to show you here, this is a growing memorial. This has been the place where students and members of the UNC community are coming to place flowers, candles, and notes to remember the professor. The bell tower is right across the street here from Cotto Labs, where Yin was shot and killed in his office Monday. The university's chancellor is urging the campus community to come together today to recognize the loss and also to show support for each other. Students organized a vigil last night at the pit nearby here with a call to action.
We're calling on North Carolina leaders and leaders around this country to take action on gun violence. This is senseless. This is preventable.
I'm hoping just to do this together, to push for some more changes, to make sure that we're prepared. God forbid this happens again.
Now, at the same time of this moment of silence, several other student groups will be joining together for a rally nearby here at the South Building. That's a rally against gun violence. Just within the last hour, we've learned from a message sent out to the university community from the chancellor that classes and activities will resume here on campus tomorrow as they begin to get back to some normalcy here. Now, the university is also holding a candlelight vigil tonight at 7:30 to honor Professor Yan and to remember him. Now, that is going to be held at the Polk Place area here on campus. But if it rains, if we get some of that rain coming in at 7:30 here, it will move over to the Dean Smith Center. Jeff?
All right, Matt Tallhelm on campus at UNC Chapel Hill. Thanks, Matt.
A former colleague and mentor of the professor killed in the UNC shooting says Professor Yan reached out to him recently, expressing concern about one of his grad students. Doug Crissy is a professor at Tulane University. Crissy worked with Yan at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute while Yan worked on his PhD. And he describes Yan as a sweet man with a brilliant mind. Crissy says he was exchanging emails with Yan last month when the Carolina professor shared his concerns.
He also said that he had a graduate student who was troubled with mental illness and he had some delusions, and that he talked to his department about it.
WRL has reached out to UNC Chapel Hill about this claim to confirm. We have yet to hear back.
Governor Roy Cooper is throwing his support behind Josh Stein's bid to replace him. Stein is now in his second term as attorney general. Right now, he's the only Democrat announced in the governor's race, but Supreme Court Justice Michael Morgan might also enter the race. Cooper is unable to run due to term limits. The sentencing of the former Proud Boys chairman that was set for today has been postponed. Enrique Tarrio and a top associate were convicted last May on charges of seditious conspiracy and several other felonies for their roles in the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol. The sentencing will be rescheduled for a future date. Three other Proud Boys are expected to be sentenced Thursday and Friday.
Police in Pasadena are searching for four men behind a smash-and-grab robbery. The jeweler says the four masked men rushed into the door while another customer was leaving. That's when he says they pepper-sprayed him and then ransacked the store. The thieves got away with over $500,000 worth of handcrafted jewelry.
The most important is my life. That's not taken. Every piece that I make, I put in the showcase. It's part of me, you know. I've been jeweler for 48 years. I make them all special.
The police say the men hopped in a getaway car. Officers are searching for the vehicle and the thieves. It is 12:18, and Idalia is now a Category 1 hurricane, bringing a lot of destruction and damage to Florida.
And it's entirely on land now, pretty much, which is amazing. It's holding together as still a Category 1. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center with a look at it.
Yeah, with 85-mile-per-hour winds, but it did come on shore. I mean, they sent the hurricane hunters into it right before it made landfall, and they detected 120-mile-per-hour winds there. So it's a huge storm, too, not just powerful. I mean, you can see the center of circulation has moved on up into the southern part of Georgia. But look at the extent of the rain. That rain is heavy all the way as far north as almost Columbia, South Carolina. We do have in this really heavy rain band, you can see that tornado warning that popped up there just really close to noon. But we're seeing some lighter rain already starting to spread across the South Carolina line into North Carolina. I'm not sure that any of that is reaching the ground yet, but it will. Take a look at the distance, too. From the center of circulation all the way up to the triangle area is about 409 miles. I don't know if you can, the colors there are a little bit muted, but 409 miles from here to there. That is an enormous system. And all the rain, for the most part, is out ahead of it. So we're going to see that rain tonight into early tomorrow. But once that storm starts to move east of us, you know, then it's done and it will move out. That rain will move out very quickly. We go to dual Doppler 5000 radar and we're starting to see just a little bit of activity developing here. Southeastern corner of Cumberland County there into parts of Sampson County as well. A little bit of light rain back here into the Sand Hills as well. But we will see this continuing to become a little bit stronger too. There's a cold front that is moving into the area too. And that cold front's going to interact with this first bit of rain. And in some places we may have some thunderstorms developing along that line, again, related more to the cold front than to the actual tropical system. We do have that flood watch that's in effect through tomorrow. tomorrow evening, 2 to 5 inches of rain. Those higher rainfall totals, of course, will be closer to the coast. Now look at this. You can see the red shaded area. This is where we have a high risk for flooding. That includes Goldsboro to Fayetteville and south. And then we have a low risk for flooding from the Triangle area northward. So there may be parts of the viewing area that see very little rain. As we push it ahead to tomorrow, that high risk for flooding shifts eastward as that storm starts to move out to sea. We have a level 3 risk for severe storms around the Wilmington area. This is where we're more likely to have those spin-up tornadoes. I just showed you that one that was down in South Carolina. We have a small risk for that in some of our southern counties. Let's take a look at Futurecast. You can see some of this light rain pushing in now between now and 1 o'clock. By 3 o'clock, we're starting to see some of those first heavy bands of rain moving in. We should see rain across the viewing area by 5 o'clock. So the evening commute is going to be messy. That rain's going to be heavy on and off, especially from, say, 2 or 3 in the morning all the way up until around 7 or 8. So the morning commute is going to be really messy. Once we push to lunchtime, the rain is starting to taper off on the Triangle, and it's out of the viewing area by the evening commute tomorrow. So it's really going to be tonight and early tomorrow that that rain is the heaviest. And again, from Southern Pines to Fayetteville to Clinton to Goldsboro, that's where we're going to see some of that heavy rain up to 5 inches. So locally, expect 1 to 5 inches. Some areas could see as high as 7-inch rainfall totals. We have a high risk of flooding in our southern counties and a low risk in our northern counties. Winds will gust 35 to 45 miles per hour. And we do have a small tornado threat, especially closer to the coast. New as of 11 o'clock, Hope County, Cumberland County, and Sampson County are in that tropical storm warning. Again, for winds gusting up to 45 miles per hour, we will see some storm surge along the coast. And that red line is the forecast track for the storm. Storm surge threat along the coast in blue there, it's 1 to 3 feet. But in the sounds, we may have the water pushing inland due to the wind. And so some of those sounds could see up to 4 feet of storm surge. Around here, we're going to see our rainfall increasing over the next couple of hours, then heavy at times tonight. Today and tomorrow, WRL weather alert days. It'll be a cool day tomorrow with high temperatures only in the mid-70s. But once this all moves out, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday all look nice, especially Friday and Saturday look nice and cool. It'll be a little hotter by Labor Day at 91. Coming up, we're going to talk in a little more detail about how much rainfall and wind we'll see at the coast and what the impacts will be there.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Next at noon on WRL News, Amazon is tracking its employees' badge swipes. We'll tell you what the penalty could be for employees not showing up to the office.
And a new spin on quiet quitting, how some companies are now quietly pushing workers out. Stay with us. The rain is expected to move out in time for the 14th annual African American Cultural Festival this weekend. WRL is a proud community partner. The two-day festival begins Saturday and takes place along Fayetteville Street. Enjoy delicious food, vibrant African artwork and jewelry, as well as the family village with fun crafts for kids.
There are just 2 days left in this year's Clear the Shelters event, and there are still lots of pets who want to be your new family member. Today's featured shelter is Carolina Animal Rescue and Adoption. They have tons of pets ready to find their forever homes. Among them, Beefcake, Mojo Jojo, and Minion. Beefcake's a sweet and affectionate and loves humans. Mojo Jojo is loyal and stoic, loves to play with other dogs. Minion is everyone's best friend. He's ready to be yours. You find all the details on local shelters and these available pets on WRL.com/shelters.
Their names are as cute as their faces. Mm-hmm. Get back in the office or find another job. That's the message from Amazon CEO. The return to office policy requires workers to be in the office 3 days of the week. Amazon is also tracking their attendance through badge swipes. If employees refuse, Amazon says they should find another job.
Move over quiet quitting. Some employers are instituting a new counterpart, quiet cutting. That's where they quietly push workers out of the company. According to a new report, companies are increasingly reassigning employees to other positions, hoping they end up quitting rather than having to fire them. Signs of quiet cutting include lower job pay and new assignments, requiring relocation when it's impossible, or assignment to an area known where jobs will be cut.
Hurricane Idalia is now a Category 1 storm, but the worst isn't over. You're looking at a live picture of South Carolina where the storms, the rain's outer bands already moving through that area. And we're going to see that rain sometime this afternoon from Idalia. Elizabeth will return with a look at where Idalia's headed.
Plus, the government wants to know about a secret Tesla feature. Find out what the so-called Elon mode allows drivers to do. And hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Wind gusts, high tides, and storm surge, a major concern in Florida, hours after Hurricane Idalia made landfall. We now know that at least one person died in a weather-related crash in Florida.
Hurricane Idalia is causing flooding in Valdosta, Georgia, as it moves well into that state.
Our number one priority is your safety, and that's why we have team coverage. Our meteorologists are in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking the storm, as well as in the storm tracker. Idalia making its way to North Carolina. We begin with WRAL's Elizabeth Gardner.
We do see the storm that is onshore now. It's been on land for the last several hours, and it has weakened down to 85 mile per hour winds, but that still makes it a fairly strong Category 1 storm, spreading plenty of rain from Georgia through South Carolina. We're starting to see some of that rain in our viewing area now as well. Some of that's interacting with a cold front, but we're definitely seeing some tropical moisture streaming up into our area. We take a look at what's happening down here, and of course you can see meteorologist Amy Wilmoth there in the storm tracker. She's now north of Jacksonville, moving on up into Georgia on I-95. She's going to be following the storm as it moves through South Carolina and on into North Carolina and giving us updates well into the day tomorrow. Amy, you had a very interesting time this morning because you found yourself close to the center of the storm with some extremely strong winds and trees falling, and we're really happy that you're safe.
We were doing our best to stay safe. Our plan was always to stay ahead of the storm, but downed trees kept us from going the routes we wanted to go, so we had to come up with some new plans. Hopefully you're able to see weather graphics and where we are now. We're very thankful that we have made it into Georgia. We were in Jacksonville at the top of the noon hour. We've now made it into South Georgia. We're happy to be out of Florida where all the trees are down. They're on power lines. There are numerous power outages. Take a look at some of the pictures that we have that we took of the trees down. This is just four different pictures. We actually had 10 routes that we tried to take that were all blocked by trees. Eventually, we're able to find a route that got us out, thankfully. But all of those down trees, that means a lot of power outages. Take a look at this map here. So many people in Florida are without power. I can't tell you how many trees we saw down on power lines. A lot of power lines down. The area circled here, that's the area where we were driving around. And I mean, it was just devastation there across Florida. It's going to take a long time for them to recover from this. We're going to keep tracking this storm as it makes its way through Georgia and eventually into North Carolina. We'll have more live updates later today at 4 o'clock. Elizabeth?
Amy, great work. We appreciate you bringing us all of that. It seems like that what's happening down in Florida, of course, as you mentioned, will take a long time to recover from. As that storm moves northward, we have tropical storm warnings up the coast and even in some inland counties. As a matter of fact, in the 11 o'clock advisory from the National Hurricane Center, Hope County, Cumberland County, and Sampson County were all put under a tropical storm warning. Now, that may seem strange because we think of tropical storm warnings being along the coast, but this is a tropical system and it will spread tropical storm force winds as far inland as Fayetteville, Rayford, and Clinton. And so we're looking at the potential for winds gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour. We'll have some heavy rain. These are also the areas most likely to see some flooding. Along the coast, we're looking at some storm surge 1 to 4 feet, nothing like what they saw down in Florida, but still can have some impact for folks along the coast. We have our flood watch is in effect through tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 5 inches of rain, 5-inch totals down to the south, and the lighter totals are going to be here in the blue. Maybe 1 to 2 inches in the triangle, but again, Fayetteville, Clinton, Goldsboro easily at 5 inches. That's going to cause some flooding problems. We take a look at future cast. We have a little bit of light rain that's starting to push into our viewing area right now. That will pick up in intensity over the next couple of hours. We'll likely have some thunderstorms that develop along this leading edge because it's interacting with a cold front that's sitting across the area right now. We continue to have a steady to heavy rain overnight. It will be especially heavy in the early morning hours from 2 or 3 a.m. up until, say, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, but then pretty quickly it moves on out. The storm right now is moving at 20 miles per hour. It's pretty fast for a tropical system, so the rain should be over by lunchtime in the triangle and by the evening commute in our eastern counties, but we could see some flooding at that point as well. Looking at winds gusting with this overnight, 30 to 35 miles per hour in the triangle, but again, a tropical storm force hours, 40 to 45 miles per hour in some of our southern counties. Looking at a warm afternoon for us until we really get that rain cranked up. Again, that rain's going to be steady to heavy overnight. We'll see temperatures dropping into the 70s, and it will be a fairly cool day tomorrow. I'll take a look at what happens after this storm moves out coming up.
Elizabeth, that flash flooding you mentioned is a big concern for the people down in the Sandhills. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live at the Cape Fear River after speaking with Cumberland County's Emergency Management Director about this storm that is on its way. Gilbert?
Yeah, Jeff, we don't have any rain down here yet, but as you mentioned, you know it's on the way. Gene Booth is the emergency manager director here in Cumberland County. He says his team is ready to go. Let me show you the good news right here. Cape Fear River is low, and photojournalist Mike Joyner and I remember when Matthew and Hurricane Florence came through, that water right there was all the way up to the base of the Person Street Bridge. That's not the case right now. Big concern from this storm is going to be flash flooding. If you know you live in an area that's prone to flooding, make sure you make your evacuation plans right now. The county is prepared to open shelters as needed, and they're working with the Red Cross to help staff them. Now, right now, all eyes are on this storm as it makes its way up the East Coast.
Wind probabilities are 25, 30 mile an hour with max gusts around 40 mile an hour, and the risk there is some sporadic power outages. Good live solid trees may not come down, but your dead trees or your sick trees, weaker trees, they may fall. You may see them fall, create some power outages.
And we've already seen several power company trucks staging in the area, ready to get the lights turned back on in the event we do have some power outages. And while this storm is nothing in comparison to Hurricanes Matthew and Florence, Gene Boo says his emergency management team is planning for the worst case scenario and hoping for the best. And he says that's exactly what all of us should be doing, that don't take this storm lightly. It's not as bad as some of the hurricanes that we've had to deal with, Jeff, but have your stuff ready to go. Get your go-to bag ready. Make sure you have your medication and any essentials that you need for the next 3 days.
Be prepared. Have a plan. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays live for us this noon. Gilbert, thank you.
And we've been working to find you the best pictures and videos to show you the aftermath of the hurricane. I want to show you video here from Cedar Key, Florida. That was the area just south of where the hurricane made landfall. This post is from a resident there in Cedar Key, Michael Bobbitt. You can see what they are dealing with after this storm. He did post a couple of different videos here. You can see the waves ripping. You can see a lot of destruction and damage, a lot of tree limbs down. This is an example of what people are dealing with in Florida. Again, this is Cedar Key. That is just south of where the hurricane made landfall. There are under 1,000 people in this tiny community. So this is really going to be a very big effort to recover after this hurricane.
Flooding, the big concern there. Michelle, thank you. WRL has the most experienced, largest severe weather team in North Carolina, so make sure you stick with us today, tonight, and into tomorrow morning as Adelia moves through. The only TV station in the Triangle with dual pole radar, 7 meteorologists, and the WRL storm tracker following every movement of the storm. Be sure to download the WRL News app for up-to-the-minute information about Adelia and how it will affect where you live. It's free wherever you get your apps. To fight the fentanyl crisis, you have to know where people are using, how some public health departments are identifying areas of addiction.
Plus, a secret feature built into Tesla's, why the government wants the company to come clean on what it calls Elon mode. Some public health departments are relying on sewage testing to identify where illegal drug substance use is surging. Untreated waste reveals where harmful drugs like fentanyl are being used and at what rate. The data is even capable of detecting when other substances have been laced with fentanyl.
They're flushing it down a toilet, and then eventually as that sort of supply starts working its way through the community, you then over the next week start to see the opioid overdoses manifest because people were consuming fentanyl that they weren't intending to consume.
The testing is not used for law enforcement, but it does show police where they need to send their prevention tools.
The first opioid overdose antidote that's available without a prescription will hit store shelves next week. The manufacturer of Narcan says the medicine will have a suggested retail price of $45 per carton. Each box includes two doses of the nasal spray. It will be available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Walmart, and CVS. The Food and Drug Administration approved Narcan as an over-the-counter drug in March in response to the national opioid crisis. Regulators want to know more about a possible secret feature in Tesla's autopilot system. The National Highway Transportation Administration is asking the company to provide more details about its autonomous driving modes and driving monitoring systems, including one known as the Elon mode. The feature eliminates a so-called nag that prompts drivers to keep their hands on the steering wheel or risk the vehicle disabling autopilot.
Coming up, the family of a teacher killed by a power pole is suing the utility company. What else that family wants that could help others in the future?
Also ahead, we'll check back in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner as Hurricane Idalia turns its way toward North Carolina. We've already seen some of the destruction left behind in Florida as we take a live look at South Carolina, where the storm is headed there.
We bring you back this noon with this live look right now from the WRL Storm Tracker. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in that vehicle right now, traveling north on I-95, has just crossed the Florida-Georgia line into Brunswick, Georgia right now. You can see rain continues to fall there as that storm, Idalia, moves through Florida into Georgia and South Carolina next.
At least 11 people are being treated for various injuries after a Delta flight hit severe turbulence as it approached Atlanta. The plane from Milan had 151 passengers and 14 crew members on board. The FAA says the plane was roughly 40 miles away from Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport when the shaking started. Delta issued a statement thanking the first responders who were on the scene when the plane landed. The airline also noted that Customs and Border Protection made sure that everyone was appropriately cleared. The family of a South Carolina teacher killed by a utility pole that went airborne is suing the utility company. A warning here, we're about to show you video of that awful moment. The woman walking there was Janelle Robinson. And last week, a tractor trailer hit some overhead utility lines, causing several poles to fly through the air. And one of those poles struck Robinson. She later died of her injuries. The family contends the poles were not properly maintained, and they want the utility company to upgrade the power infrastructure and compensate them for pain and suffering.
Terrible.
Just what a horrible incident.
Yeah, absolutely. We're tracking Idalia still, and the intensity of the storm, the gusts have dropped just a little bit, but it's still moving very fast.
Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking Idalia for us, and when we'll start to feel the effects here, Elizabeth?
We're starting to see some of the rain showing up on the radar in our southern counties right now. The heaviest rain bands are down here in South Carolina, and in this rain band, we have had some tornado warnings pop up. Of course, we have a tornado watch in effect for the coast, but not for our viewing area at the moment. It looks like most of the spin-up tornadoes would end up being around the coast. Now, from the center of the circulation all the way to our part of North Carolina is about 400 miles. So we are looking at a lot of rainfall ahead of this system, and all of this will pick up in intensity this afternoon, tonight, and early tomorrow morning before this storm moves out. I thought I would take a look at some of the rainfall totals. A few of these are offshore, but very close to where the storm made landfall. Almost 8 inches of rain just offshore, and then inland near the Georgia-Florida line, looking at 6.5 to 7 inches of rain. It would be heavier if the storm was moving any faster. Moving any slower. It's moving pretty fast at 20 miles per hour right now. But definitely storm surge, a huge issue for folks down in Florida. And of course, over the next day or two, we'll end up seeing some of the damage that was done from that storm surge. Here's a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar. We have a cold front that's sitting across our area. And as we're seeing a little bit of tropical moisture come in, that front will actually magnify or make this a little worse than it would be if that front weren't here. It would be fairly light otherwise, but that front will enhance some of this rain. And we're starting to see some heavier showers down around Clinton. Clinton there in Sampson County. A little bit of light rain in the southern part of Cumberland County. We'll see this continuing to lift northward, and that rain will get heavier as we get closer to the evening commute. Here's a look at Futurecast. A little bit of light rain right now. By 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we start to see it picking up in intensity, especially around Fayetteville and Clinton. At 5 o'clock, we're seeing rain around the Triangle area, and from that point on, we're just going to see rain steady to heavy at times. At 5 a.m., lots of rain across the viewing area, and that'll start to pick up in intensity as early as 2 or 3 in the morning. But it starts to taper off at the latter part of the commute, and it may be out of the viewing area by lunchtime, out of the Triangle at lunchtime and out of the viewing area by around 5 o'clock. We have a tropical storm warning that's in effect up and down the coast. That does include Hoke, Cumberland, and Sampson counties, and I know we typically think of tropical storm warnings right along the coast, but we will see winds gusting to 40, 45 miles per hour in those counties, and so they're included in that tropical storm warning. Storm surge along the coast in blue there, 1 to 3 feet. Some of the areas around Cape Lookout and inland around the Sound could see up to 4 feet of storm surge. We take a look at the wind speeds. Look at this. It remains category one all the way until it almost reaches Wilmington, and just past that, it becomes a tropical storm. So we do have the potential right along the coast to see some gusts up to 70 miles per hour. We also have a high rip current danger, not just now for the next several days, but into the weekend as well as that storm sits offshore. For our area, looking at 30 to 35 mile per hour gusts tonight, 40 to 45 around Fayetteville and over toward Goldsboro and Clinton. Of course, we have that flood watch that's in effect now through late tomorrow, looking at as much as 5 inches of rain in our southern counties, and that's where we'd have the best chance of seeing any flooding. Down near Wilmington in orange, that's where we'll have the best chance of seeing any tornadoes. You can see that's where the tornado watch is. We don't have much of a chance in our viewing area. 3 to 8 inches of rain along the coast, locally 10, winds gusting 40 to 60 or 70, and then we do have that potential for some tornadoes. We get past tomorrow, which will be actually a cool day at 74, and then we have some nice weather in the forecast around here and along the coast for the holiday weekend. It gets pretty hot by Labor Day with a high of 91. We'll be right back after your top stories.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Lee County Schools just announced they will do remote learning tomorrow. The WRL Severe Weather Team continues to track Hurricane Idalia. Governor Roy Cooper has announced a state of emergency for North Carolina. A tropical storm warning has been issued for our coastline and several non-coastal counties, including Cumberland, Sampson, and Hoke.
We are watching for potential impacts to flights coming into and out of RDU. So far, we've seen 6 cancellations and 7 delayed flights as we take a live look at the airport. RDU could see 48,000 passengers tomorrow. Because of that number, the airport is bringing in extra staffing.
Crews in Cumberland County are preparing for Idalia, and power company trucks are already staging in parts of the area, ready to get the lights back on in the event of power outages. The director of emergency management for the county tells WRL his team plans for the worst case scenarios, hoping for the best.
We'll take another live look at RDU. This morning, RDU announced that 225,000 people will travel through the airport from Thursday through Monday for the Labor Day holiday weekend. Friday expected to be the busiest day. Passenger volume is expected to be 11% higher than last year. The TSA expects to screen more than 14 million people at airports across the country over the weekend. If your holiday weekend includes a road trip, here's what you can expect to pay at the pump. The national average, $383. That's according to AAA. The average price in North Carolina, $354. That's down 1 cent from last week.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels Pet Adoptions. Nikolai is a cuddle enthusiast. Just pick him up and he transforms into a purring bundle of affection. Nikolai's distinctive bunny-like tail and playful habit of dancing between your feet make him an adorable and endearing presence. His energetic personality pairs perfectly with a young cat as a companion, ideally one of his siblings. If you'd like to welcome Nikolai into your home, you can apply today at catangels.org.
Our team of meteorologists will continue to track Idalia as it moves to North Carolina. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, and we'll have another update on Idalia at 1:20.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a good day.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL weather alert day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.